Dames en heren, jongens en meisjes, welkom bij de Kick It Met podcast. Jullie zijn gewend van ons Kick It Met talkshows, Kick It Met on tour. Maar we doen ook talkshows en podcasts tegelijk. Ik ben met Jeff.
Yes, and we're gonna do it in English today, man.
We're gonna switch to English.
Because we're with Jeremy Frimprong and...
Timothy Fosu-Mensah.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank
welcome,
you, guys. Thank you.
How are you guys feeling?
Good.
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. I'm good.
You've actually been on the show, kind of.
Yeah. Before right? YouTube now.
Yeah, we did like a video call.
Yeah.
And we spoke about your session at Bayer Leverkusen, your health. How are you feeling?
I feel good.
When are we going to see you on the pitch again?
ASAP.
Yeah.
But I feel good. That's the most important.
Because this guy is having too much fun, man.
He's doing well. He's doing really well, man. Honestly, man. I'm proud of him.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
You've seen his progress, huh?
Yeah, definitely. We came together.
Yeah, man. We came here together.
Yeah. And I've seen him grow, so... It's good.
You both have actually similar backgrounds because you guys moved from Netherlands to the UK, from Amsterdam to Manchester. Yeah. How was that transition as a young Ghanaian brother?
I feel like it was the same with me and Timothy, but I feel like mine was different, you know, because I moved when I was like young, seven, you know. So I don't know why we moved, but I'm seven in Manchester now. So yeah. Yeah,
it was for you?
For me, it was big because I was in Holland till the age of 16. And I had all my friends, my brothers, everyone was there, my whole family. So for me, it was a bigger move than for Jeremy.
Yeah, it had more impact.
Definitely.
Okay, coincidentally, you both came into Manchester.
Yes.
You played for the red team and you played for the blue team.
Yes.
Did you guys already link up with each other then, or
no?
The age difference, eh?
I heard about Timothy, but we never linked up.
Okay. And what's your fondest memory of the Belma?
For me, my memory, not so good. You know, I can't remember too much. I can only remember like in Manchester, you know. Mm. But I never, when I was in Holland, I never played football. I never played for a football club, you know.
Just a child.
Yeah, just a child in the house, you know.
So there's nothing that you miss, like the food that you could get
honestly,
there?
Yeah, like the food. I'm talking about like friendship memories or something like this. Not really. I was a kid, you know. But food-wise, yes, of course. Papa, frikandel. you know. So obviously because that's a Belma, you know. That was the type of food I was eating, you know. So.
Yeah, what about you?
Me, I remember a lot.
A lot.
I'm going to school, playing football outside with my friends, brothers, just chilling outside in the summer. A lot, man, a lot. Mm. Definitely, man.
Yeah, you both come from a Ghanaian household.
Yes.
I also have a similar background. How did you experience a Ghanaian household? Did you guys get support in like playing football? Did your parents encourage you to do yourself?
Yes, my parents they helped a lot. They did what they could. It was not easy for them, but in any way possible they helped, you know. My mom, to be fair, she was trying to come to every game. My dad was doing his best also to see my games when I was young, but he had to work as well. But my mom, she did the best to come to every game. If you had tournaments outside of Holland or maybe outside of Amsterdam, she would go like ask one of the parents to lift with them, you know, like to go in their car. I remember Nuri's uncle always give my mom the option to go together to the tournaments and everything. And my mom, she was always very supportive, you know. She's my biggest fan. She was like, even when I was young, since the age of 10, she was already filming all my games. She was already filming when I left the house to go to the games. So she was like, I don't know if she already seen the talent. I don't think, because she don't know that much about football, but she could see I was a good player. And she was always filming. And later I was like, when I think about it now, it's a special thing to do, man. Yeah.
Beautiful story, man.
Do you guys remember the day that you got scouted for Ajax?
Yes.
Manchester City? Yeah. I'm going to start off with Jeremy and then Timothy.
Yeah, I remember. For me, It was my local football team next to my area in Manchester. It was like the final, and I think I scored a hat trick or something like this. Mm-hmm. And there was loads of scouts, Manchester City, Liverpool, Bolton. First, I went to Liverpool, but because it was far from Manchester and I didn't have a car like that, mm-hmm. so I had to stop that.
You were young.
Yeah, exactly. So
8 years old, was it?
Nine.
Nine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was nine. So then, obviously, the closest thing to me was Manchester City. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes on the bus. But it wasn't easy. I remember I had the trial 6 weeks. They didn't take me first, and then I had to do it again. And then eventually they taught me. And then ever since, I was just there. So, yeah.
But, like, did they send you, like, a letter, or did they approach you? Like, what happened?
Yeah, they sent me a letter to my...
After the final?
No, first they spoke to my brother. They spoke to my brother. It was like, oh, I really like him. You should come for a trial. And then we got the actual letter that it's going to be here, blah, 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 the information. And, yeah.
And it was only Manchester City at the time that was interested in you?
No.
And Liverpool, right?
Liverpool and Bolton.
Okay. So what made you decide to go to Manchester City?
Because it was closest to me. It was for me, it was Liverpool first because one of my uncles had a car and used to take me there. But obviously, he couldn't do it all the time, you know. So then we had to tell Liverpool, but it just never worked. So then Man City was the closest place to me, so yeah.
Beautiful, man. And you, obviously, you've been playing for a lot of, like, amateur clubs in Amsterdam.
Only one. Zeeburgia. Yeah? Zeeburgia. Yeah, man. Zeeburgia, from the age of 4 till 7, I think. And we always used to play against Ajax. We always lost. But I think I did well for them to scout me, you know. I was also, captain of Zeeburgia. So, like, our team was really good.
Zeeburgia, yeah. Which generation was that from Zeeburgia? Because there are a lot.
No, it's 97 and 98. I'm a 98, but I was already with the 97. I don't know who of that team made it, but we no one, to be fair. If I have to be honest, I'm the only one. But we were good, you know? Like, if you go to Amsterdam and you see the boys playing on the street, some boys, they don't even have a club. So you'd be like, huh? How are you not at the club? Because there is talent. You know, so Zeeburgia was always really good, and we always, like, every tournament we reached the final against Ajax, and then Ajax was just a bit better. But I think for Ajax, I stood out, and then I received a letter. So then I had my trials, like, 5 rounds. I remember I did my trials with Jafairo De Rozen, like, all of them, and the last one, Steven and Api, Nuri, they were already at Ajax in the last session. They trained with us. So that is something, that's something I remember. But me, I remember really that me and Jafairo were always, already from the age of 7, always together doing the trials, and then we got picked at the same time. So that's what I remember.
Beautiful. And how did your family respond?
Both, to be fair, both.
Not like, oh. Yeah, Africans, because when you're young, they don't understand football until, like, you've grown up. Or, yeah. They actually know what it means now. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was younger, it was obviously my mom would know that I'm going to football.
Yeah.
But it was mostly my brothers and my sisters that would take me there. Mm.
And if you guys didn't become professional football players, what would you have been doing right now in life?
Was there a plan B?
Yeah, was there a plan B?
No. For me, no.
I was not bad in school, but no, man.
No, there's no profession in the world would you feel like interested in?
No, for me, I knew school wasn't for me. Like Timothy said, I wasn't bad in school, but I knew school wasn't for me. And yeah, the only thing I had in mind was football.
And your Ghanaian parents tolerated that?
No, of course not. You know Ghanaian parents, this was like school. Like, you need to pass, you know, all that. But for me, it was football. Just do school, but football, most important. Yeah.
Okay. You recently started with your brother foundation called Pathways, and I think it's very specific, but very for a beautiful cause, because you guys are blessed to be a football player right now and to get your money with it and provide for your families. But there's a lot of players y'all been around that put the same effort, you know, going to the training every day and giving up a lot of things, but they didn't end up being a pro. What was the reason behind starting this?
For me, I've always been a guy like that, like wanting to help, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, now I have the things that I can do, you know. So for me actually seeing it like in person, for instance, when you get told if you're going to be a professional player or not, mm-hmm. and for people not to get it, and then the clubs just leave you, you know. Because as a kid, all you think about is just football. Like, you want to be a footballer, you know.
Yeah.
So someone telling you that you're not going to make it, it's heartbreaking. So for me, actually seeing that, I wanted to make it a change, you know, because it really affects little boys, you know, it really affects it. So for me, I had to do something about it. So if I can do a little thing, I'm going to help. So yeah, this is the main reason why I started.
Yeah.
And if you look at the foundation, the course, like, if you look at it practically, like, what do you do to help those talents or people who have had those setbacks in their career? Like, is there like a therapy session? Is there like what happens in terms of procedure?
Everything is there. Like, it's already in Ghana. It's already started. So for instance, and it's not just football. For instance, like, it's like anything else you want to be. You understand? So just there's people there. Then you go there, and obviously they help you with like whatever you want to be. You can go there and be like, oh, I want to be a business accountant or a cameraman. You know what I'm trying to say? Just literally anything. And we provide the things,
tools.
Yeah, that can help.
Well, that explains the name.
You understand?
Pathways.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and you guys touch upon the football industry being very hard, tough, and cruel. So, for instance, for you, Tim, you've had numerous of injuries in your career thus far, but you always sit here next to me or around people with a smile. Like,
yeah,
how do you carry yourself on a mental aspect? And have you seen people around you have like a mental breakdown within the football industry?
How do I carry myself? First of all, I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed. I feel blessed. I tell myself every day that I'm blessed. I'm thankful for everything. So who am I to moan? Obviously, yeah. Who am I to moan? So it's hard. I've had hard times, but I've always fought back. And as I say, I'm blessed. I'm also blessed to have good people around me, you know. So my brothers, my family, good friends who I've been with since young. They've always like encouraged me. And also like players who had similar injuries before me. I've been with them in contact, you know, the first time it happened to me, like I'd been with them in contact, you know, spoken to them, they had good advice for me. So I think it's more me knowing that I'm blessed and that it's difficult to be in this position. So, and I think it's mainly also the people around me who keep encouraging me and who keep pushing me, you know.
Mm, yeah. Okay, beautiful, man. Yeah.
Jeremy, to get back to you arriving at Manchester City,
mm-hmm.
back then it wasn't like the top club it was as it is right now. It was still in development to get there. How did you experience that development from Manchester City, like becoming a top club, to, you know, you played there for years and you experienced that development?
For me, I was just happy to be there. When I was there, I was in Platt. There's this the old training ground is called Platt Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for a little bit, but then we moved to the new what's it called? I forgot what it's called, but
we
moved,
had something.
Yeah.
I think
yeah, something like that. We moved there, and everything was there. Like everything looked brand new, and was just happy to be there. You know, like if you go into the gym, bro, the gym's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If the pitches, you know, like as a kid, normally. You don't play on good pitches like this, you know what
yeah,
I say?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We literally had everything. We had so many stuffs that could extra trade and things like this. So, like Timothy said, I was just blessed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And grateful, you know, so, yeah.
But did you clock that, okay, Manchester City is going into this new phase, or were you just like, oh, cool, new ground, new pitches, but nothing special?
No, I feel like as a kid, for me anyway, I didn't really like deep it like that, you know, mm-hmm. that Man City is going to... Obviously, I knew it was a good team, but I didn't deep as like, oh, it's going to be something big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I just lived that moment, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everything's good, you know. let me enjoy, you know, like, or let me take all the development that I need, you know. So
yeah. And I think you experienced also Manchester City winning that Premier League title in 2012.
Aguero.
But there's like a lot of, you know, every young Manchester City fan I see, I'm like, you know, you're just experiencing Manchester City how it is right now. But you were actual, I think you were a fan of City becoming champions. How was that?
No, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't a City fan. But obviously, I liked them because obviously I was there. I'm actually a Chelsea fan because of Drogba, you know.
Ish.
Jeff is going to go on your skin today.
Who are you, Arsenal?
Of course.
Well, whatever, man. For me, yeah, I was a Chelsea fan, but obviously I went to City games because obviously we get free tickets. Mm-hmm. So I was actually there when they won the league. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually there when the league.
In the stadium.
Yeah, ran on the pitch. I think I was ball boy.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was ball boy. So we all just ran on the pitch with the fans. So yeah, I actually was there. But yeah, like I said, it was a really good time at City.
Yeah, because you've seen that change of City, like, as how it is right now. You were closer to that. That's pretty unique.
Yeah, obviously now I deep it now, because when I was a kid, I was just thinking that. Now I think about it. Yeah, like the change, just like the players that go there now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're financially like good now. You understand?
Yeah,
a lot bigger, you know. So yeah, seeing all those changes is like, wow. I was actually there, but
yeah. Was there a rivalry with United? Was there like an actual? Were those matches like extra tense or something to you guys, or not really?
Yeah, I feel like it don't even have to be just like Manchester United. I feel like just every rivalry is just that emotion. You get what I'm trying to say? Even as a kid, you understand? Like you're born to that. You're born to knowing that Man City, United. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
How was that for you, Tim? Because you play for the United Academy.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
yes.
While playing in the academy, did you encounter like Manchester City often?
Yes, yes, yes.
And was it already intense at that
definitely,
age?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was even more special for me because Jafairo went to Man City when he was 16, and I went to United when I was 16. So we faced each other a couple of times. So it was even more
intense.
Yeah.
And I think you a couple of times played on him because he was a left winger, right winger. Yeah. You also played like fullback.
Them times I was playing center back or center midfielder.
Okay.
So I didn't really.
Yeah.
But it was intense.
It was intense, definitely. Yeah.
Like, did you notice that just amongst the players, or were there like even supporters watching the youth teams like that?
Definitely, there were definitely supporters, but I would say more among the players and the staff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
And like witnessing the growth of City becoming like this big giant club it is right now in the UK. Like, how did Manchester United look up on to that? Like, did they take it serious beforehand?
Yeah, I think you, if you have like if you've seen the financial growth as well, of course you're gonna take it serious because it's gonna be very competitive. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, most definitely, man.
Yeah, so they were noisy neighbors to like actual
100% yeah.
top club right now. Yeah.
Okay. If you think about it, back in the day, United was always on top. You know, like United was even competing for like the Premier League. They were doing Champions League. You know, so they were comfortable back then. Obviously, now City's like this. Of course,
It's crazy how football can change within a decade. Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, you can buy a club and invest like what Chelsea is doing right now, with all the respect, and think, you know, everything will be fixed in 2 years. But what City did was obviously like, you know, they actually bought the whole technical staff and all the directors from Barcelona.
Yeah.
They copied their formula, you know, with Jürgen Bergsheim and Guardiola. They bought them, applied it to City, and the rest is history, man.
No, the first time I noticed that City was going to do crazy when they bought Robinho, I was like, yo, Robinho at City?
But he said he thought he would go to United, but I don't believe that, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a strange story. Yeah. But anyways, in the academy, you've played with Foden, right?
Yeah.
How good was he at that age?
I think we all knew that he was going to be a City player. Like, obviously, we all knew he was going to make it, but we all definitely knew he was definitely going to be a City player.
Yeah, very special.
Yeah, he was very good. But there was a lot of very good players at City. But yeah, he was very, very good.
And Sancho as well, right?
Yeah.
Wow, crazy.
There was a lot of talent. I can go through Felix, Eric Garcia, Rabi Matondo, Fasil, Dele Bashir, there's a lot.
Are you still in contact with any of your teammates?
Yeah. So for me, I basically grew up with them, you know. I grew up with them, went to school with them. Seen them more time than I've seen like my brothers probably. So for me, I've got this tight connection with them. We always talk, yeah.
Beautiful.
Tim.
Any notable players
in
your generation?
Marcus Rashford, definitely.
He's like, Marcus Rashford. Yeah.
Of course.
Who else?
Scott McTominay, Axel Tuanseba. It's older. But I played with him sometimes in under 21. So in the under 21s, I also played with like Jan Uzay, Andreas Pereira, Jesse Lingard. And
Jan Uzay had a crazy start. I remember.
Yeah, really good player. Bortwick Jackson, he did also well when he came in the scene. Dean Henderson.
Oh wow!
Dean Henderson. Yeah.
Crazy
good keeper.
So when did you make your debut? Like which coach was it?
Van Gaal.
Of course.
Yeah, Louis Van Gaal.
Your father.
Definitely. No, always be grateful to him. Always, man.
Okay. Tell us in Dutch the words he told you before, you know.
What did he say?
I think something very clear. I think he's a man of a few words, but it would.
Yeah, in Dutch or?
Yeah, in Dutch.
I say geniet ervan.
Oh wow.
That means literally like enjoy the moment. Literally. So it was good, man.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But he's always known for a coach that brings new talent in.
He don't care.
Yeah.
He just pushes you.
He probably already had like a special connection with you, knowing your background, etc. I would say
yes, but he was not the one that sent the academy people to scout me. Because when I came he was not there. So when I came here, David Moyes was the manager. So he was always the one who watched like the academy people. So when we had the game, he would watch the game. When we had the game in a stadium or in a mini stadium or even at the training ground, he would literally watch the game with the staff.
But did David Moyes let you train with the senior team?
It was Van Gaal the first time I trained with the senior team. And then I was 16, I think. So when I came was 2014, then it was David Moyes, and then the year after he got sacked, then Van Gaal came. Mm. So, man.
At one point, Jeremy, you had to make a decision to leave City, you know, the club you were playing for years. And I heard this funny story that you were on your way to Glasgow, and you told them to make a U-turn, like, no, I don't want this anymore. And you were sitting there with your agent, stressing out. How serious was that? What fear sparked it?
Yeah, what kicked in?
You know what it was? I was just, at that time, obviously, I'm still a kid, you know, so I'm thinking about the people I'm leaving, like my teammates. Like I said, we were brothers, you know, like we were so close. Like I see them every day, you know, so I was just thinking that I'm not going to see them again, you know. So obviously, it was difficult for me at that time because I know I want to be a professional footballer. But for me, I was just like, I am ready, but I'm not ready to leave them. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm not ready to leave them, but obviously I am ready to be a footballer, you know. So I had a talk with my brother, you know. My brother was like, bro, this is your path, you know. So you got to just show the world, you know. Like, not everyone's going to make it, you know. He was giving me that type of talk. Not everyone's going to make it. There's always going to be a time where you're going to leave them. You understand? So obviously that's when I was like, yeah, you're right.
So, but it was a conscious decision to leave City? Or was it a fact that they didn't give you like a plan for the future? Like what was the deciding factor?
And for me, like I wasn't stupid as well. I think that them times, I think they bought, I think it was Cancelo as well. Hmm. You know, like, and he was young, you know. And I think he came from Juve. Yeah. Bro, I'm an academy player, you know. So for me, I was just like, yeah, it's gonna be long, but I'm ready to play first team now, you know. So
yeah,
when Celtic came, when I first heard about Celtic, I was really happy because Celtic, best team in Scotland, you know. So yeah.
Were they the only ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, best team in Scotland. So it wasn't even like, oh, I don't want to go to Celtic. It wasn't that. It was strictly because I didn't want to leave.
The homesickness.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's also, I think, maybe I'm saying it wrong, but there's not a lot of talent from the academy back then going to the first team. Is everybody playing in the youth academy of City in that era and was like, okay, let me develop myself and see what the next chapter is going to be? Because there were not a lot of big players, talented players from youth academy going to the first team.
Not even that. And I feel like why I left as well is because they when I had a talk with the academy manager, he was not giving that he's confident in me, you know. He was giving me the vibe that they're better players than me, you know.
Okay.
So he was giving me that kind of type of vibe, like he wouldn't care, you know.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, yeah, well, I clearly can't stay here, can I? Mm.
Yeah, and obviously they were buying players. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with other players, I'm like, you know, you see all these big players getting bought and you're gonna be like, okay, but what is, you know, this academy, is this a Manchester City Academy or UK All-Star Academy, you know?
Yeah, it was, I think it was difficult at that time for academy player to break through the first team of Manchester City. So it's even more surprising that Foden actually made it happen. But obviously Guardiola's philosophy is the youth, you know, youth has a future. But like prior, like with Pellegrini and Mancini, you didn't notice that, right? Like,
No.
They didn't take any chances.
Like
the
now there's a lot of, not even Man City, just everywhere. There's a lot of young players playing now.
Yeah, exactly. I was at United, Tim. Like, I think with Van Gaal coming, he gave players like Rashford and you a platform to shine at the first team.
Yeah.
Did you all have to believe, like, yeah, we can definitely be first team players knowing that Van Gaal is a coach?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Because that's also what he stands for, you know. So it definitely gave everyone like a boost that you can make it to the first team. Yeah. And you've seen it also with other players. So I think the year before was Andreas. That year before was Januzaj. But it's not only Van Gaal. Like United is, they stand for giving youth players a chance. So I think it only made sense.
Yeah, but at some point, your chances for first team spot also got smaller and smaller.
Yes, 100%.
So what made you decide to move on?
So I had two loans, Fulham and Crystal Palace. You had Mourinho who came in. The first season I stayed with him, but I played like 15 games or something. For me it was not enough, so then I went to Crystal Palace. Frank de Boer took me at Crystal Palace, so he contacted me.
He didn't last long though.
No, unfortunately not, but he was the one who brought me there. And with Crystal Palace, I had a good season and became a full international. So for me, that was the right thing to do. Then I wanted to keep playing. Well, Mourinho was still at United, and I think it would be difficult for me to play there. And I had to keep pushing. So then I went to Fulham. Fulham was good, and then obviously the situation happened, the injury occurred. And then it was kind of difficult, okay, being in the side, being not in the side. Ole was the manager. Ole was always also good to me.
Solskjaer,
yeah. Ole, yes. And I wanted stability, and then Peter Bosz was at Leverkusen. And there was an opportunity for me to come here, so...
Okay.
I took that opportunity.
Okay. We're gonna get to Leverkusen soon. We're gonna still talk about like Glasgow. Like you were kind of homesick leaving Manchester to go to Glasgow.
Big time.
From the accent to the surroundings. What made the biggest impact living in Glasgow to you?
You know what it was? It wasn't even that far from like Manchester. 3 hours on the train, you know. So I was still like, I could still like go home, you know. But it was just me just waking up to no noise, you know. I have a big family as well, you know. So me, I'm actually living alone, you know. I'm getting, what's it called, letters, you know. At this age, like, there's bills. I have to, everything was just new, you know. I have to pay for the water bill myself. Just all these things, you know, that normally my parents do. I'm doing it now, you know. So everything was just crazy to me.
Mm.
Yeah, but obviously I had teammates there that helped me with it, you know. Like, I would go, like, to their house. And obviously they'll tell me like things, you know, because now they see I'm living alone.
Yeah.
They'll tell me like how things work, things like this. So yeah, they helped me through it. I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy. Scottish is a crazy accent. I just realizing now. Could you understand the Scottish accent?
If I tell you something, my manager we had Neil Lennon. Oh. And he was from Northern Ireland.
Ooh.
So I remember the first training session. I didn't understand, you know, and I was young, so I don't want to be like, coach, what did you say? So obviously I would like say to the players like, go in front of me.
Yeah.
And then obviously I would just copy them. Yeah. If I made a mistake, then I made a mistake. But
yeah.
I did. It took a while. I'm never gonna lie to you. The accent is difficult.
Yeah.
Even though I speak English, it was difficult at the start. But when you live there, you get used to it. I'm never gonna lie to you.
Okay.
You get used to it.
But wow, like all by yourself in Glasgow. Normally, yeah, like in a Ghanaian household, at least one of the parents or brother.
Yeah. Comes. She came there like at the start, and then obviously she had to go a lot. So obviously she had to go home, and then yeah, I was just doing everything myself. Okay. Yeah.
What was your biggest lesson in terms of responsibility?
I have to pay bills.
Yeah. Just my biggest responsibility was just like, I gotta be like mature now, you know, like I'm not a kid. Like normally when I throw my boxes, like, you get what I'm trying to say? I can't even do that because no one's going to wash that for me.
That's the thing. Yeah. Also with dishwashing, you got to stand there, sit there and be like, they're not going to wash themselves.
No, you're not going to wash themselves.
It's going to stink.
You have to clean your bed.
Yeah.
You know all that. Change the sheets. Just everything. Everything.
I think for every young man, you know, with the caring mother at home, you're going to be like, hey, shit, nothing is washing itself. I have to do it myself. Googling, yeah, tutorials, calling.
But I'm happy it was like that because now I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand? I grew up way quicker than I thought I would. So yeah.
On the footballing side, like, you experienced winning the treble in Scotland with Celtic. And then also, like, how was the Scottish League in general for your development?
I feel like it was top. I feel like it was the best decision I made, like, me actually going to Celtic. Was the best decision I made, you know, because as soon as I got to Celtic, seeing the players, Scott Brown, for instance, big legend,
yeah,
Callum McGregor,
yeah,
Odson Edouard, Bolly Ngoli, all these big players, you know, so seeing them and see how they play football was like a dream to me, you know, that like I could be one day like them, you know,
playing the offer.
Yeah, exactly. So I just took everything I could from them. Mm. And yeah, we had such a great team, really. Yeah, our team was good.
Describe the atmosphere of Ibrox in one word.
When it's like the derby.
Old Firm, yeah.
Oh my days! I remember my first ever derby was the semi final. Yeah, my first ever, and I got a red card.
You got too aggressive.
Yeah, I got.
We're gonna look this up. Matter of fact, we're gonna get the visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my first ever derby. Of course, before like coming out on the pitch, like you can hear like the noise when you're in the change room. You know, it's crazy. Like these guys, I know like derbies don't like each other, but these guys really don't like each other.
Mm.
Like they're disgusted with each other. You understand?
Yeah.
So like you can see like if you're on the losing team or. Long day, you know, because
yeah,
like they really dislike each other. But the atmosphere was crazy, you know, because when we came out, all the Celtic fans are like,
"You'll never walk alone."
Yeah, they're so happy to see us. Like they're just shouting, you know, like "Hey," like just praising us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it wants you to play more, and especially it's the semi final. So obviously you just can't get beat. It's the semi final.
Yeah,
you understand? So yeah, I got the red card. It was the worst time. Worst time of my life, you know, when I got the red card because, you know, it's semi-final against Rangers. And I think it was 0-0. No, it was 1-0. Yeah, I think we're winning 1-0, you know. So I got the red card. So I'm like, oh, I gave them a chance to get back, you know. And now they might blame me, you understand? So there was a lot of things going through my head, you know. Like, oh, I let the players down. But we won, you know, so...
No.
Yeah, that just went. Yeah,
thank God for that, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, man. Your development didn't go unnoticed on an international level. Because at some point you got called up for the representative team of the Netherlands under 19, right? How did that go? Because like, didn't the England FA, the English FA approach you to come and play for the under 19s?
Holland's always first. It was always first. They always came first, you know. I think my first ever Holland call-up, I think it maybe was under 16s or 17s. Yeah, and ever since then, I always stuck with Holland, you know. Ghana never came. It was always Holland, you know. So for me, it was Holland.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, easy decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was your first call-up?
On the 15s.
On the 15s.
On the 15s, right away.
Yeah.
On the 15s. Well.
Yeah.
So there was no... Because, you know, in the media, they speculate a lot. There was never a moment that you could make a choice between England, Ghana or Netherlands. It was always Netherlands first.
Yeah, like... So, for me, it was always Holland. Like it was easy decision.
Yeah, and Ghana was never a choice.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It was always Holland.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For you, Tim?
It was also always Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Obviously, you guys seen Ghana do well in the World Cup and stuff. Never felt like, okay, one day.
2010.
Yeah. Yeah, always Holland.
Yeah, but like, I grew up, you know, in Holland. I played even KNVB under 13s, KNVB under 14s, before you have like Holland under 15s. Like, I did all that. I had Euros under 17s. Like, I had all these things with Holland. So it was a no-brainer for me to choose Holland.
Mm. And for me, it was not even like they were coming like when I was younger. It's only now they were coming, you know, now that I'm grown. But back then,
yeah,
they were there, you know.
Is that the deciding factor, that the Ghanaian FA not approaching people from your generation or from a younger generation at an early age?
Yeah, I think that's a big part, 100%.
Mm.
100%. Like for instance, Holland, when you're young, they come directly, you know. You understand? England, when you're young, you know, just every country, when you're younger, they come directly. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of never came, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like it's, I don't think it's just me. I feel like it's for a lot of Ghanaians,
yeah,
when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And now that you're older, all of a sudden you're on the radar and they want to approach you.
Exactly.
And yeah, how did that go, in, if you, like from their side? Like, did they approach you prior to you being selected to the Dutch team, or?
Yeah, like they called me, you know. They called me. They were like, yeah, they wanna bring me to Ghana. They want me to play for the national team, you know. And for me, I said to them, it's always been Holland, you know. And I'm not gonna change.
Yeah, respect that. Yeah,
man. Sometimes you see on social media this could been Ghana's first team. This could been, I don't know, Congo's first team. Does it ever get to you, or are you like, nah, this is not reality to me?
Don't get me wrong. The team looks like, when you see that and you see like the players, the team look good. You understand? And for me, like, I'm not like saying that like I'm proud to be Ghanaian. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My parents are
definitely
Ghanaian. You know, so it wasn't. It's not that case. You know, but for me, it was just like Holland's always been there.
Yeah.
Like, they believed in me.
Yeah, if they select you from under 15, you know, and also in your case, from the under 13, exactly, you create a connection with wearing that jersey, yeah, you know. Exactly. You can't just, you know, for other people it's different, but, you know, if you create that connection with that national team, you want to play also with fellow teammates that you grew up with 100%. And get to the team. So that definitely makes sense, man. Mm. And at one point you get selected for the World Cup. That was like, you didn't even make your debut and you were selected for the World Cup, bro. That was big.
Yeah, it's epic, man.
Yeah, for me it was a dream come true, you know. I remember I was in Leverkusen, we were training outside, and then I came back inside and I have like a family group chat, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't even see it like on Instagram or just somewhere on social media. For me, I saw it in my family's group chat, you know. They just said, "Oh, Jeremy did it," you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I was just over the moon. I remember the players, they looked at me, you know, and they could see my facial expression that I was so happy. Like, you get picked. And obviously, by my facial expression, they know it. So, yeah, it was a dream come true, yeah.
Tim, how did you react to it? Was he smiling all day?
Yeah, definitely. We were training, as he said. And he was really happy. Everyone was really happy for him.
Yeah, you both shared your, you have a, like a common experience with Louis van Gaal. You just shared your experience with him at Manchester. Yeah. How was your experience with him at the Dutch team? Like did he speak to you like personally?
Yeah, of course. He spoke to me because I think before the World Cup call, there was a lot of people like talking about like why is he not in the national team, things like that. So we talked about that, and he was just telling me that you deserve the call up. So how you were playing, and I was like, thank you, I appreciate, you know, I'm grateful. Whenever you think I'm ready, I'll be ready.
Yeah,
you know, just talk like that. Yeah.
And then obviously throughout the tournament things go smoothly. You go to the next round, you beat the US, and all of a sudden you play against Argentina in the quarterfinals. Like how did you experience that match? Because that match was like a roller coaster. How was it for you? Because I think
we heard this from different perception from different players how that match was.
Yeah.
You know, on that world stage.
From Noah Lang, from
Kenneth Taylor, like how did you like that day you wake up? Big game. How was that day for you?
Yeah, for me, that day, quarterfinals, you know, and it's against Argentina, Messi, you know. when you Argentina, Messi.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, of course, no disrespect, they've got all of them are great players, you know.
Yeah.
But Messi.
Messi's different.
So what you think about is Messi, you understand? Messi. So obviously, we're in the change rooms now. Everybody's looking forward to it because obviously, we've got a chance to go to the next semi-final, you know.
Yeah.
So everyone's looking for, everyone's pumped up. Everyone's like, we're going to beat them, things like this, you know. And for me, obviously, I wanted to, of course, any guy wants to play in the World Cup. But for me, I wanted to go through to the next stage.
Definitely.
So there was a lot of emotions, as you guys could see on TV, there was a lot of emotions that match, you know, when That guy was in Paradise when he
shot the ball. Yeah,
kicked that ball, like everyone just started up, you know, because it was a build up to it, you know. And then like when we scored last minute, we did that free kick style in training, you know.
Yeah.
So for it to actually work was like happy and
double,
funny.
Double, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was
yeah.
funny, you know, because it actually worked. You understand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just the comeback, I think would they 2-0 up?
They were 2-0 up.
Yeah, 2-0 up.
Yeah. And then, exactly.
And then Weghorst headed the first one in, and then the free kick thing was a 2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
2-0 up. Yeah.
So for us to be 2-2, everyone think, oh, we can win it now, you know, because 2-0 against Argentina in the quarterfinals, that's difficult.
Yeah, that's everybody thought it was done, but that 2-2 in the last minute was it was like crazy, and then penalties come up. Just standing there, you know, it's not in front of the television, you know, you just actually
would you have taken a penalty if you were playing?
No. Jeez.
Why are you saying no? What's your problem?
Even in training, you know.
Stop this, bro. 6 out of 6 today, G.
6.
Yeah, bro. 6 out of 6 today.
Yeah? So, like,
my mindset is different now. Now I would take.
Yeah.
In the past, no. In the past, no.
Maybe you should try in the Bundesliga first now.
My mindset is changed, you know. And I practice a lot in training. Timothy knows. We practice a lot.
I want to see you by the end of the season at least taking one penalty. Just go to whoever takes the penalty. Who takes it normally? Shaka, who takes the penalty? Or you guys?
No, Palacios.
Palacios. Tell him, my friend. I beg, make her take one.
It's difficult sometimes.
Yeah? He's greedy?
Penalty, but who doesn't want to score?
Of course.
You understand?
He got already the stats.
No, but like, for example.
Good for the season, you know. Yeah. They're like, your stats are good. Like, give us some goals, man.
I think before me, there's other players, but I'll try.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll try. But me standing there, it's the worst. It's the worst. It's the worst feeling like in your gut, you know, like.
Because you can't take a responsibility because you're on the bench, but you're also part of the match. It's not in front of the TV that if you lost, you're going to do something else.
Mm. You're actually there, and it's just like, it's just the feeling. It's not nice, you know.
Yeah.
So, it was. And like I said, there was emotions in that match. So, we really wanted to win. And then, unfortunately, they beat us on penalties. And
how was the dressing room after the match?
No, it's quiet. Just quiet. Just. Everyone's just sad, you know, because we got light again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was dark, and then we got light again.
Yeah.
And then it got dark again, you get what I'm trying to say? So, it was difficult. Everybody was upset because, for me, I feel like we deserve to win, you know. But, you know, football, football is this type of sport, you know. You win some, you lose some. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the Euros are coming up in Germany. What are your expectations with the current Dutch squad? And how do you feel about it?
Yeah, for me, of course, I always want to play for my national team, you know. So, of course, I want to play in it. But for me to play in it, I have to do well in my club, you know.
Bro, you're doing well, man. Don't be humble.
Yeah, no. No, but not even that. Like, you can't get complacent, you know. Yeah. You understand? Like, okay, cool, I'm doing well now. But these matches coming up, they're important, you know. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not playing well, football changes like this.
Charlie, please, I beg, stop your nonsense. You are number one in the Bundesliga.
Timo, you thought you know what I'm trying to say?
10 assists, 10 goals.
10 assists, 10 goals.
I know.
My friend.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Please.
You know, get complacent and then I don't start anymore. You get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
You don't start anymore. Or for instance, you don't start that one game, then the guy in your position does it. Hey, football changes. Like that's how I got my chance in Celtic.
Yeah.
One of the players
got injured.
Yeah, what to be fair, one of the players got injured.
Yeah.
And then I got my chance and then I took it. You get what I'm trying to say? So you never know. So that's why you can't get complacent in football, I think.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about the ideal starting lineup, you know, you're heavily knocking on the door, and in a lot of, you know, shows and everything, podcasts, they're discussing, hey, should Frimpong play or should Dumfries play? Because Dumfries, of course, is a big player in the Dutch squad. But I've seen you also sometimes in your career play from the left side.
Yeah.
Are you able to do that?
For me, anywhere on the side.
It's okay. It's crazy because it's even noticed on Transfer Market,
yeah.
Right? On Transfer Market.
Yeah. You play from the left side.
I can play. Yeah.
Any other side, yeah?
Yes. Side is Omar.
Because that would be the ideal starting lineup for the Dutch. If we have to choose in between Dumfries or Frimpong, what? Why not both?
Yeah, I feel both can work.
For me, I'm just gonna whenever I get chosen to play, then I'll just play. You know, so yeah.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about Leverkusen. You guys are in amazing flow. 10 points ahead of Bayern Munich.
Is it 10?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's
10.
What's the magic, bro, this season? Because, like, you've been playing there for a while now, Tim.
Yeah.
And this season is going very well. Like, what's the difference compared to the previous season? Is it just Xabi Alonso? Because compared to Peter Bosz and Xabi Alonso, what is the biggest difference that you have noticed thus far?
I think, obviously, first of all, we changed the system, and I think every player in a position is like really specialized in a position, and we made very good signings as well this season. They've contributed a lot, so I think it's like it's also a mixture of like experience and I wouldn't say youth because we don't have many youth, but like young experienced players and older experienced players.
Our team's young.
Our team is young in general, but like experience still, you know.
Players like Chaka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think the balance is very good.
Mm.
Yeah.
How good is Florian Wirtz?
Very good, man. Very, very good player.
Yeah, he's
really
like,
good.
He's like the Foden of Leverkusen, huh? In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys see on TV like how he is, exactly how he is, you know.
Good player.
Very good player. Very good player, and very, very nice, humble guy as well.
Yeah.
And it would be something very special if you guys managed to become champions, because it never happened. Bayer Leverkusen is a big club. Like, you know, in history, they even made it to the Champions League final. They're always one of the big teams in Germany, but never the champions. Maybe this season it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every team plays to win something, you know. Mm-hmm. So our dream is, of course, to win this, but Bundesliga is difficult. Like, there's Bayern still there.
Mm-hmm.
Dortmund. You know, the Stuttgart, the season, they're amazing, you know. So, yeah, like I said, in football, you just can't get complacent.
For some reason, you can never write off Bayern Munich, eh?
No, you can't, because look what happened last year.
Yeah, man. I was rooting for Dortmund, eh?
But, and you got to respect Bayern, because they've been doing this for 12 years.
Bro.
So, you have to respect. You can't write, even though we're 10 points, you can't write them off.
Yeah.
There's nine more games left, and you never know what can happen.
Yeah, crazy, man.
Yeah.
Do you all feel the support from the German media and stuff to become the champions? Because after 12 years, it becomes a little bit boring to the average viewer of the Bundesliga.
I don't really like read into that, you know, because you know.
Why you don't speak German?
No, I mean I don't read into that because obviously I don't want to let them things get to my head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like it's not done yet. You understand? Like I can't be here going to people like, yeah, we're gonna win it. Don't worry.
Mm.
You know, you don't know what's gonna happen. Like I said, you gotta respect these type of teams because they've been doing it for a long time.
I can imagine like Germany like rooting for Leverkusen.
Yeah,
they want to go.
I can imagine.
So, what is the biggest thing that you're learning right now in this period for both of you? Like seeing you being on top. Like, is it not to lose focus or
anyone can do it? Like literally, yeah. Of course, not anyone can do it. You know, like no one ever thought. Like we'll be in this position, you know. Like I feel like everyone always thinks it's either between Bayern Munich or Dortmund, you know, or Leipzig. No one ever thought we'd be in this position, but for me in life, anything can happen, you know.
Yeah.
So just go for it, you know.
Yeah.
And sorry to interrupt, but I think you guys get the question a lot about how special is Xabi Alonso, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we know, you know, he's doing very well, but it's his first season as a coach, right? This is his first season being actually a manager. And I saw recently a video of Mourinho describing, like, he knew that Xabi Alonso would be a good coach because his father was a coach.
Hmm.
And he said he, you know, played in teams where Guardiola was the coach, where Ancelotti was the coach, where Mourinho was the coach. He said he had the perfect coach academy, actually.
And he plays in a very strategic position. He used to play in a very strategic position on the pitch.
Yeah, to see, he's, you know, as a central midfielder, he saw the complete pitch. But what was for you guys surprising for a coach that was doing this for the first year in his life? Like maybe you've seen... other coaches earlier who have their own things or they're new to this job. But what was so surprising to you guys that, yo, this guy's training for the first time. He's a coach for the first time. He's doing this and this. What was so special to you guys? What was surprising?
For me, I think the level of quality that he expects from his players, that he expects from us. But what I've clocked with him, and I think maybe because he has won also many things, had great managers, is the urge for the whole team to have consistency during the whole season. You know, like the consistency with him, it's so important. Like we can win 3-0 against Bayern, and Monday he will have a meeting as if we didn't won against Bayern. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's next. And I've seen it a little bit with also with Mourinho when that season when we won the Europa League. But with Xabi, I would say it's extreme in a good way because it's like always focus on the next in a good way. Like, okay, this what the team did last weekend, it's done. It's the next. Like the consistency with him is different.
Mm. How fanatic is he? Because I also see like videos. Really on social media of him like doing the passing and drill sessions with you guys, and he really shows that he used to be like a very good player, you know? Like, how is that on training to experience that? Like getting a ball from him, like proper solid on your chest.
Bro, sometimes it just shows me and Timothy off, like we could be doing crossing. You know, sometimes you got bad days, you know, when you cross the ball bad, you know? So me and Timothy are crossing. He's like, guys, it's like this. Bro, and it's a ball, like
literally. He's a baller, right? Yeah.
And then, you know, he smells. He does.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah, but I feel like it's normal. I feel like he does miss football, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
Any chance he'll get, he likes to join in, you know. So
yeah, as a footballer, I feel he was kind of underrated. There's this iconic.
No.
Yeah, it was kind of underrated.
People could appreciate him.
Yeah, he didn't really appreciate.
He was a director.
He was there with Iniesta.
Yeah, yeah.
Xavi.
And at Liverpool also with Gerrard, but they didn't really appreciate him that much. Yeah, underrated.
I think he was proper. Like, you know, he won a lot. If you go to see his trophies, he won.
But like, you don't think they didn't speak about him as they speak about Iniesta. Well,
always,
Xavi.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Mm. You understand? Because there's this iconic. What I want to get
he's
at.
In that, but he's in that convo, no?
Yeah, because there's this iconic picture of Adidas where they launch a new Predator. You see him on a selfie with Zidane, Del Piero, and Kaká. and him in the back. Mm. And that's the level that he actually had, you know. But people don't really.
But he wasn't like, I think, like Iniesta
or Xavi,
he was like the silent power in the team. Like that's he was what I mean. Director. Like he was there to make Cristiano and Ozil and
shine.
You know, and even during his Liverpool time, you know, to the other people shine.
Yeah, on midfield, Gerrard got all the credit.
Yeah,
always. You understand? Meanwhile, his
in that case, okay, important. I can't understand where you're coming from. Yeah, I got a random question, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You copy everybody's celebration in sync.
Wait till be that now. What's going on with you?
Everyone's getting on to me with that. You know, for me, like you know, at the moment, it's just like they scored in it. So obviously I would do your celebration because you scored in it.
But you know everybody's celebration.
That's why because it's easy, you know, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy and sometimes it's funny, you know. For instance, like Victor Boniface, his celebration is funny, you know. And it really gets on the nerves of the opposition, you know. They really don't like that. Like you're dancing stupid, so you're not gonna like it, and obviously I wanna.
Which one is your favorite? Because I have one favorite—the one that Chaka faked his injury, and the physical therapist wanted to, the doctor wanted to run on the pitch, and Xavi Alonso was like, "Yo, relax."
He always does it in training. I think that's why Xavi was already like.
You know what it is? Like I've been telling him, bro. When are you gonna score? Understand? So like we can do
to
this.
To Chaka.
Yeah, I've always been like, "But when are you gonna score so you can actually do it?" Because in training, he scores some great goals, and then he does it, you know, and it's funny. So obviously we're like, bro. Do it in the match. He scored the banger, and we all not everyone knew that he was. Some thought like he was actually
injured. Yeah, bro. I was watching. I was like, yo, is he injured?
Yeah, some thought he was actually, but most of us knew that. Yes, yeah, it's the celebration.
amazing, guys. You got your phones with you?
Yeah.
Can you open the music streaming service you're playing your music on?
We want to see like what's your taste level. At.
It's on.
I want to see, bro. You, I know. You listen a lot. Hanky Tay, Frena, what?
Well, right now it's on.
Oh, you're Apple Music guy. That's interesting.
Yeah. Me too, bro. Better sound,
Apple Music, Apple Music. Right now.
Tim is Spotify.
We're listening to,
of course.
To NBA Youngboy.
NBA Youngboy, yeah. Wow. Okay. that's an aggressive vibe, bro. That's aggressive.
Do you listen to music before the match?
Yeah.
Yeah?
If there's no music, for me, before the game, I have to. To dance, you know.
Mm.
Like I'm. And you listen to NBA Youngboy to dance, bro.
You don't listen to.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Different type of dancing. It's not everyday African dance. African.
No, but
NBA
it's like
Youngboy, he's got like a different. It's not dancing. It's more like moving in it.
Yeah. You understand? Like, so for example, prior to the match against Bayern Munich, what type of music will you play?
NBA. No, but no. Wait. Like, of course, you can dance to other American hip hop, but NBA. Youngboy is like killing music, bro. He's the stuff he raps.
Yeah,
you know what I mean when I say the dancing. It's not like dancing. It's like
you're bouncing. Yeah, of course. But
so I said I need it. This straight going undefeated.
Okay. So Tim is shaking his head. Tim, tell us about music, man.
He actually does play this always before.
Okay. What are you playing?
Me.
You like NBA too.
I like NBA Youngboy. I like NBA Youngboy. I like my Afro beats. Mm-hmm. Like my UK tunes, you know, like a mix of everything.
Yeah.
But no slow jam music. No.
No.
Before the game, not before the game.
Okay, cool. No, I get
before
it.
Only when you're with, huh?
That's for another podcast. That's for another podcast.
Yeah.
No slow jams. But that's for another time.
And what about Ghanaian music, for example? Yeah, you got hip life or high life?
Of course, bro.
Kojo, huh? Before we up on Sa?
Yeah,
bro.
KK Fosu.
Okay.
Yeah,
bro. So you guys listen to the hip life and the high life?
Yeah, so it's awesome. I like to Kolum.
Oh, wow. Classic.
Kolum.
Yeah, you know. Who's your favorite Afrobeat artist at the moment?
This is difficult, man.
Yeah.
It's difficult, bro.
Jeff is just waiting for you to name a Nigerian artist because he wants you to name a Ghanaian artist.
No, he's waiting. Honestly, when it comes to music,
no, Afrobeat is from Nigeria. That one, we cannot deny.
Yeah, don't be like.
Yeah, bro.
For instance, who's got a better jollof rice?
For me, it's Senegal. It's not Ghana. It's not Nigeria. I'm an honest Ghanaian. I can tell you, the Senegalese jollof is the best. Why? Because of the spices and the way they mix it.
You understand? Also, they are the originators, my friend. There's a tribe named after them. It's the Wolof tribe. You understand? It comes from there. But these people are quiet. They don't talk too much. Yeah. So, you should open yourself and try the other jobs.
Little history lesson right here.
Yeah. But for you, it's Ghana, obviously, or Nigeria.
Not Ghana, Ghana.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And for you?
Ghana, Ghana.
Fufu or Jollof?
Oof. Bro, for no, me, Jollof. Fufu's heavy, you know. Fufu, like, if you want to sleep, this when you eat Fufu. Yeah. If you want to sleep,
because you see the man them fighting the Fufu.
Yeah, bro, you're sweating. Fufu's not a joker.
Yeah, no, but for me, Jollof.
It's work. Man. Yeah, for me, Jollof.
I like Jollof.
Jollof, Jollof.
Yeah.
I always tell my mom, Jollof.
I can eat Jollof every day with clothing. Jollof and cocoa.
With the chicken.
Yeah.
And supermo. Perfect.
So you guys will go to Düsseldorf to get your stuff.
My mom.
Yeah?
She makes it for me.
Oh, okay.
You should make Jollof part of the prep meals they're selling everywhere right now.
Definitely, man.
Yeah, man. But, okay. Top three UK artists.
You UK, start, right? Yeah, Tim, yeah. You start. Top three UK.
Sure. What, listen to?
Your personal taste, your top three.
I'll put K-Trap.
Yeah.
Okay.
K-Trap really, really good. Heady One. And then I would say Central C. But for me, I listen a lot to K-Trap.
Okay. Mm.
But you don't listen to Central C.
Yeah, but if you put new music out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Pff. Fredo.
Yeah,
Santana. Fredo. Not Santana, bro. Fredo for UK, Fredo.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
it's American one.
The Fredo. Fredo. American, yeah. Fredo.
Just got a free Fredo. I'm gonna ask you the top three Dutch artists, man.
You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for me, Fredo is there. Fredo is there for me. Second one. You guys might not agree with me, but young L Lee, you know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one more.
You got a bunch, man. Got so many. Henky Tay, got Jonah Fraser,
Brother Lifter,
SFP, Ronnie Flex.
Ronnie Flex, that's Ronnie it. Flex? Yes, that's it. Ronnie Flex.
Okay. All right.
Proper list, man.
Yeah, man.
And it's interesting that I always check, like, okay, who's using Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. I think that says a lot about somebody.
Yeah.
He's always the ambassador of Apple Music on the side.
Yeah. Like, haven't you guys noticed the influence of British music in Dutch music culture as well?
Yeah, they're always collabing, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come that has happened, you think, like, the development? Is it because of the similar street cultures, or?
I would say yes. But I would say also, like, for them both to expand a little bit. So to get fans from Holland and Holland to get fans from the UK, I think then.
So you think it's more strategic?
Half and half, I would say.
I feel like collabing everywhere has changed. Like, for instance, like the American people, they're now making music with Afro beats, you know, UK, French, you understand? I feel like everywhere around the world, it's like, I remember there was a time America just stick to Americans, you know?
Yeah.
Like now there's UK collabing with French.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of and it's good in that industry
Yeah, you also have like Afrobeats collaborating with Hispanic music right now.
You see?
It's crazy, man. Yeah, man. Africa in general, man. We'll be on the rise also with the Afrobeat. How big you think Afrobeat can reach in upcoming years?
Bro, I think it's big already. It's
very big
already. I think it's there already.
Yeah,
man.
You think one day you go to Japan and you hear Afrobeats?
Yeah, ik denk het wel. I think yes, bro. This thing is going really hard.
You think?
Bro,
because it's mainly like the melody, vibe, and the beat. Because when I listen to Afrobeat, I don't understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that vibe that sparks in you.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
It's true.
People try to sing along. I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna pass on that. I'm just gonna move. I'm move to it. But singing along is like, you know. But it's the whole vibe,
nah.
And that's why I think, to come back to your question, yes, definitely in Japan. If you feel the vibe, you feel the vibe.
Yeah, one day, man.
You know, and for instance, with hip hop, it's very lyric focused. With Afrobeat, it's like vibe focused.
Melody. Anyways, gents, we're gonna end this part of the interview, the podcast. Mm-hmm. We're gonna, I think, go to another shop real quick if we have time.
If we have time.
And
one last thing I want to ask. What is your goal on the pitch?
Yeah.
And off the pitch?
My goal?
Yeah.
On the pitch. So my goal is to, on the pitch, to... Timo's so stupid, you.
How you call him Timo? Typical German name, man.
Timo, eh? Timo. They Germanized it.
Timo Werner.
Is it the Champions League or is it
Timo Hillebrand?
Reaching a club, like what is?
For me, just winning trophies, man. Yeah. I just love winning trophies. I love that feeling, you know. Yeah. If I win trophies, I'm happy.
Yeah. That's your goal.
And off the pitch, just everyone around me just good, you know.
Blessed.
Everyone around me just good, healthy. Enjoy life and taking care of it.
You ever think about the stuff you want to start next to your career? Like starting a business, I mean that, or do you already have plans for post-career? Plans, or are you living the moment?
No, like there's already things that like I'm invested in, but like...
Tell us, man.
After, like, yeah.
Share us.
Tell me what they
like,
go on.
Like obviously like houses, apartments, you know. Nice. Just the normal things, you know.
Yeah.
Because we all know... Football's not forever, you know.
Exactly.
You can go bankrupt ASAP.
What about you, Tim?
Or the goals?
Yeah, on and off the pitch, bro.
No, obviously winning trophies, as he said. Well, I had some difficulties in the career, obviously. So staying healthy for till the end of my career, of course. Winning trophies and off football is like helping people and for my family to be healthy, to enjoy life, as Jeremy said, like enjoy life. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to end the show.
Yeah, man. Timothy Mensah, Jeremy Frimpong. Thank you guys for your time, and I hope you guys become champions, man.
Thank you. No problem.
Love, we come to
Appreciate.
Yes.
Love.